This is the Orange Podcast, conversations with Orange City Council for the local community.
This is Alan Reader, and in a week of winter chills, you'll be getting warm and toasty with some half-baked ideas from the Orange Podcast. Fresh from the oven, we'll learn why some traditional Indigenous paintings of country are turning up in Australia's most famous contest for landscape painting.
So what you're seeing in the wind is this amazing phenomenon in Australia, probably almost unique in the world, where you've got two parallel traditions. You've got this of the, you know, some artists using the Western landscape tradition, however you might describe it, and then you've got our Indigenous artists painting country in a totally different way, from a totally different background.
And that's still landscape in your mind?
Absolutely, yeah. But that's exciting. It's not like landscapes fossilized with, you know, some dark paintings of some gum trees, you know, in a gold frame. Landscapes moved on, and art exhibitions like The Wind continue to move those traditions on, and you'll see works that are more traditional. As in the Archibald, you'll see more traditional portraits, but you'll also see how other artists continue to move things forward.
More from Michael Brand, the director of the Gallery of New South Wales, coming up soon. And we'll chat to one more of our newly hatched council members. Councillor Glenn Floyd brings a background in logistics in the mining industry to his new role on the council. First up today, Michael Brand, the director of the Gallery of New South Wales, was in Orange this week for a big state government announcement. The new arts minister had news of $750,000 in funding to put more touring exhibitions on the road in regional areas. And where do they come to unveil the details? The recently expanded Orange Regional Gallery that has a great track record of delivering big shows. Michael Brand.
I'm really excited. It's really important that great art gets to travel throughout regional New South Wales. From Sydney, we need to work with regional partners to achieve that. So it's also really doubly pleasing to come out to Orange again, my second time this year, and to see how well the Kentridge project has gone here, and to know that exhibitions like The Wind will be able to come back here in the future. It's really important that regional audiences, particularly kids, get to see art of the absolute highest caliber, and this will ensure they do.
Kentridge, as an example of the sort of thing you're talking about, it's a challenging exhibition. It's not an Archibald. Why is it particularly important for that quality of art, that level of excellence, to hit the road in the bush?
The Archibald and then The Wind, when it comes in the future, Archibald portraits, of course, The Wind landscape, really good cross-section of artists painting in Australia. Kentridge is an international artist, South African artist, working globally, working across art forms. He's interested in painting, drawing, collage, opera, music, animation. And I think that sort of exhibition or that sort of work of art also shows an audience here just how broad a field, you know, contemporary art is. And I think particularly in the 21st century, to see that art goes beyond painting. I mean, we all love painting, no question about that, but things like, you know, moving image, music, installation art is a really exciting area. And it's not often that installation art of that quality, again, can come to a regional centre because there normally aren't the facilities to show it with the quality that you need. I mean, Kentridge would not want that work shown if it wasn't shown of high quality. Here in Orange, you can and you do, which is fantastic.
Talk to me some more about how that works. How would you describe the way that the challenges of putting that exhibition on at all, and how well has Orange done it?
Well, those works are challenging wherever you are. They're challenging for us in Sydney. I think it's what, something like seven to ten screens with sound that all has to be coordinated, has to be projected, the space has to be built, the space has to be soundproofed. You don't want it going right now throughout the whole building. It's very complicated to get it right, and we had our challenges in Sydney. The Biennale had its challenges when they showed it when it was first shown in Australia. So again, it's really exciting for me to come here to Orange and see that, it's looking really good.
And yet with the cooperation of the local staff and the cooperation of the New South Wales Gallery staff, it has successfully worked here. Thousands of people have come through the doors and seen it.
Yeah, and also just talking about how it was installed, these projects are also a perfect way of sort of transferring expertise and knowledge. So our team comes out here, they work with the Orange team. Now, so in the future when there are other projects, now your team here is also experienced. But then the other wonderful thing is it brings people to Orange. because there are some, there are places which are smaller which don't have their facilities, and then Orange can act as its own magnet, attracting people from further afield.
And that's part of the reason why government leaders have chosen here to come and make that announcement here today.
Yeah, and that's why the investment in Orange is so smart also, because not only do your own citizens get to see it, but you attract tourism in that helps restaurants, hotels, everything else. And again, we are the Archaeology of New South Wales. We have a responsibility to serve the citizens of New South Wales, but we can't do it all ourselves from Sydney. We can share collections, art, exhibitions, expertise, but we need to work with our local partners to provide the venues and the local expertise and the local communications, the local teachers. And great this morning to see these really tiny, there must be kindergartners coming through the gallery. We love seeing that.
The Archibald Portrait Prize has been on the road for a number of years now. Why is it important for a major landscape prize like the Wynn to hit the road as well?
I mean, one way of looking at it is, those two exhibitions together plus the Sulman are such a... It's really a cultural phenomenon in Australia, and it's really part of popular culture now. So just the name, the Wynn itself, is sort of interesting and worth sharing. But there you have, in those two exhibitions, probably the two longer-standing traditions of painting, portraiture and landscape. Why I think the Wynn is particularly important right now in Australia is over the past few years, we've worked really hard to make sure that more Indigenous artists can enter their work in the Wynn. And there are logistical problems if you're living out in APY lands. How do you send a large canvas to Sydney that might or might not get in the exhibition? So now we're getting, it's almost sort of a 50-50 balance. So what you're seeing in the Wynn is this amazing phenomenon in Australia, probably almost unique in the world, where you've got two parallel traditions. You've got this of the, some artists using the Western landscape tradition, however you might describe it. And then you've got our Indigenous artists painting country in a totally different way, from a totally different background.
And that's still landscape in your mind?
Absolutely, yeah. But that's exciting. It's not like landscapes fossilized with, some dark paintings of some gum trees, in a gold frame. Landscapes moved on, and art exhibitions like the Wynn continue to move those traditions on, and you'll see works that are more traditional. As in the Archibald, you'll see more traditional portraits, but you'll also see how other artists continue to move things forward. And for me, the Wynn is really an interesting phenomenon when you walk in the room and you see these two very different types of painting, but artists both painting Australia.
The people of Orange should look forward to seeing the Wynn in the coming years.
Absolutely. We'll be very excited to send it out your way.
The director of the Gallery of New South Wales, Michael Brand.
You're listening to the Orange Podcast. In recent weeks, we've been hearing from some of our new councillors at our latest local government election. We elected eight of these newfangled councillors, and we're gradually working our way through to find out who they are, why they stood, and what's important to them. Next cab off the rank, Councillor Glenn Floyd. Glenn, thanks for joining us today. Introduce Glenn Floyd to the Orange community. Who are you?
Yeah, thanks, Alan. Councillor Glenn Floyd, good afternoon, everyone. I stood for council for a number of reasons. I wanted to see the new proposed mountain bike track up at Mount Conobolas come to fruition. I'm very keen to get that through. I'm also very keen on the new sports precinct that we've got in the pipeline going. I certainly want to see that come to fruition in the next couple of years and get that all up and rolling. I'm also heavily into working with our local member Phil Donato on the Mr. Perfect mental health initiative that takes place first Sunday each month down in Cook Park. So on those platforms is one of the things why I wanted to get onto council to try and promote them and get them through.
Tell us a little about you personally. Who are you and why did you decide to stand for council?
Yeah, well, personally, I'm a Bathurst boy, born and bred. Spent a little bit of time up on the Central Coast for a number of years and then moved back, had a family. Now living in Orange, working out at the Cadia mine. I'm a technician in the warehouse, a logistics technician.
What does that mean? Is that someone who's good at logistics who needs to try and find things and source things from different places to meet a deadline?
Work a lot with giving out the spare parts out there to the fleet guys to fix the trucks and the loaders and everything. So I work for the warehouse area, but I distribute the parts out to the fleet guys down on surface in their big building down there in their workshop to liaise between the warehouse and those guys to get all their parts to them to make sure that the trucks and the loaders and the graders and everything are repaired and running. So
is it your responsibility to make sure all those parts are there? And anyone call you at 5 to 5 to say we need that that extra part and can you get one by tomorrow?
Well, yeah, I'm sort of the linchpin between what they want and the warehouse that actually organises everything, sends it down to me. And then I check it all off, make sure it's all there and everything is kosher, and then hand it out to the boys and away they go, and as well as fielding the odd requests and that for different parts that might not be like required or something. I've got to send them back or get new ones in, and just like a logistical role there with all the spare parts and stuff like that.
That's a skill set that's about solving problems, about sort of staying in touch with a customer and then and suppliers of that thing. Are they good skills for an Orange City Council member?
Oh, I think so, because we deal with that, you know, in our meetings. We're dealing with with situations and people that are scenarios that are constantly changing. I'm always, hopefully, I'm always on my best there and able to react, you know, pretty much instantly to different things, and it certainly helps me in my role. So yeah, I'm quite happy, quite comfortable in my role now after about 6 months or so. I'm fitting in well and learning all the time. It's a learning experience. Mm. Being one of the eight new councillors, we're all a bit green, so slowly getting there. It's been a very rewarding experience so far.
What's been the biggest challenge for you?
I think the biggest challenge so far is just is working out the dynamics of the councillors themselves.
Some who've been there for a long time, others who've who are brand new like yourself.
That's a thing. You've got on one hand, you've got four or so guys that have been there for a while, know the ins and outs of it. You're one of the eight new people, and you're trying to liaise between them, find out what they want. The guys that have been there, find out what their thoughts and ideas are on things, and then try and work out what the new councillors all want, because we're all there on different different platforms. Mm. So it's a big test to see who wants what and who wants how badly they want to get something and all this sort of stuff. So it's been a real learning curve so far, but I've enjoyed every minute of it.
They're also a very diverse council: three women for the first time, an Indigenous person, people, a range of age groups. That's a challenge, but it's also an opportunity to hear from a breadth of people across the Orange community.
It is, yeah, and that's one of the great things about this council at the moment, is I can see already that this is a very transparent and open council, and that different age groups, and different ethnicities and everything that we've got there, the Indigenous aspect of it, it's really great to be able to talk to those people and learn from them, learn what they want, and it gives you a new perspective on who you are and what you want to get. So I'm just loving every minute of it so far.
A couple of the things that you talked about as priorities for you: the mountain bike plans for Mount Kinobolas. Why is sport and that sort of a new direction important for you?
Yeah, well, sporting. I've been big on sports all my life, so I've been lucky enough to play first grade cricket, soccer in the Bathurst area in the past. Sports have been a big part of my life. Also, in my past life, we used to work in a bike shop, push bike shop, many years ago. So I love my push bike still. I still ride when I can. But the main thing with this particular thing that we're trying to do up there is a potential that this is into the area, boosting tourism, creating jobs. It's all about the holistic approach that this will do, as well as the social and economic benefits. It's just a plan that I think really does need to happen. We've got to be careful. We've got to balance the cultural issues of the plan as well. But you know, once we can sort through all that, I think it's going to be a project that is going to be well worth, you know, every cent that's been spent on it, and it's going to really reap rewards for the Orange community.
It's a project that, you know, because of the scale of it, because of the state government needing to approve things, it's going to take a while. But because most of the candidates who received the top votes were all stand on that platform of giving that a strong priority, the community's behind it. How do you work with the people who are vehement in their opposition to it?
Yeah, well, I understand all the different sides of it. I actually attended a meeting held by the Aboriginal lands people there back just before the elections, and went in objectively. I didn't want to go in with any negative thoughts about, you know, what they were talking about. I understood what they were talking about in there. I can see their point of view. Come back again at that stage, they were a bit frustrated by the lack of transparency from the councils. They didn't know what was going on, and that again fed into my hands because I wanted to be transparent. I want everyone to know what's going on, and I say that in council quite often, that we've got to be a transparent council. So I take everyone's ideas and options on board and certainly try and make the best outcome from what I know. So yeah, people can come to me and say, look, I don't like this, and I'll say, righto, well, why don't you like it? I'll take that on board, and we'll go back to council and have a chat about it. And yeah,
the same thing with the sports precinct. Again, there is a slice of the community that doesn't want it to happen. The voting numbers suggest this broad community support for it. How do you again work with that diversity around the council, around the community that doesn't want a priority for sport, wants to put it into other things instead? Just fix the roads. Don't worry about these highfalutin projects.
Yes, well, you know, I think in any council, in any council anywhere in Australia, you're going to have people that don't want certain things. So you've just got to, again, be transparent with them, tell them what's going on, say, look, we understand where you're coming from, but you've got to see the bigger picture as well. We certainly don't want to belittle anyone's views or anything on stuff, but in the way that I look at it is these bigger projects have to go ahead for the benefit of the majority of the township here. So these big projects like your sporting precinct, your mountain bike track, the new planetarium and conservatorium, all these sort of initiatives are long-term strategies put into place to help the wider community. And I certainly don't begrudge anyone for saying, look, we don't like this, we don't like that, now, whatever. But and again, as I said, I will listen to them. I'll take on board what they've got to say. But personally, at the end of the day, I think that we've got to do this for the benefit of the community, and that is what I'll be saying to them. And we'll just agree to disagree, basically.
And community leadership in that sense is about taking some flak from the community, because some won't like you because of it, but you need to get on as a council and do it anyway.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And we get that all the time. We're not going to satisfy everyone, but we will try and certainly satisfy the majority of people, do what's right for them, and be upright, forthright and transparent about it as we're doing it. So, and as I've done the past couple of days now on certain platforms I've fielded questions from people, and I've come in and asked about it, and I've given them an answer like within a day or two. So you've just got to try and help out as many people as you can. You're certainly not going to help out everyone, which is unfortunate, but you know, that's just the way it is.
Democracy.
That's exactly right.
It sounds like you're enjoying this democracy experiment thing.
Oh, it is. It's great. I really have been enjoying it. Yeah, something new and just something different, and a chance for me to give back, you know, a little bit to the community, and you know, offer whatever skills that I may have. And as I say, so far I've been really, really enjoying it, and learning from it. That's the main thing.
Councillor Glenn Floyd, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Alan.
And that's the Orange Podcast for this week. Remember, you can download this program and many others in our library from the Orange City Council website, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you won't miss a thing. Until next time, this is Alan Reader. Bye for now.